Good. So in our next talk, we're going to talk about how to make money with Matrix. Please, for the live viewer, you can ask your question in the chat. Or even if you're in the room and you're a little bit timid, don't hesitate. Anyway, I leave the place to Rooney, Johannes, and Hannah.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you for coming. Thank you very much. And also thank you to the Matrix Foundation for arranging and planning and this amazing event. Thank you very much. My name is Rooney, and I'm the CEO of Medio. And with me here on stage, I have Arnas, and he's our CTO, and Johannes, who's our DevOps. So if something is not working, it's Johannes's fault. And we're going to talk about our way towards Matrix, which has always been a straight line because of good planning and execution from the top management. And then we're going to talk about some business models a little bit. And then we're going to jump to some features, and we're going to demo some features. Arnas told me before this speech that, oh, can you not keep everything very short with all this talk about business models and history and all that stuff, because people just want to see some cool features and some technology. So I only have a few minutes here, and then he's going to take over. So that's the... that's the plan, at least. But first, let me introduce Medio. Medio is a professional matrix-based video conferencing system for the B2G and B2B segment. That means we're targeting the public sector, governments, healthcare. We do a lot in healthcare, but also private enterprises. You probably all know that private enterprises also have the same. Some of them have the same needs that as the public sector has. They need the privacy and the security and everything connected to Matrix. We have some unique selling points. First of all, we're Matrix based. That's a USP now here, so that's a good thing. And we're open source now. Security is very, very important to us. So, and everything is secure, safe, end-to-end encrypted, even if you have large meetings. Everything is hosted in the EU. If people want on-prem installations, we can also do those things. Then another thing which is very, very important for us is compliance. We are independently audited by Grant Thornton, so ISAE 3000 and ISAE 3402. Those are ISO 27001 things, but where you get external auditors looking at all your technical measurements and organizational measurements. We're certified for the healthcare industry, so TÜV IT in Germany has certified our solution, do annual pen tests and all those things, so they make sure that we are absolutely safe and secure. And then we're a very flexible solution. So we integrate our solution very often into the software that our customer already have. One of our customers is doing customer support. A lot of people are calling in, asking for support on the phone lines. And then sometimes something can be very difficult to explain. Then we can escalate that call to a video call. They can show what's wrong. Another customer has a documentation system for tumor boards, you know, with these concealed for doctors and meeting and discussing patients. Then we are integrated directly into this tumor board, and then they can have safe and secure doctor meetings there. Just some examples. We're also integrated in some patient portals in Germany. And then we have all these features that you would expect from a professional solution, breakout rooms and white labeling, branding, all sorts of organization management, and so forth and so on. You will demonstrate, Arnas will demonstrate some of the solutions we have. But the first question you might ask is, why build another video conferencing solution? There are so many out there already. Why do that again? And for me, that was a little bit of a personal journey, because I was a long time ago, I was the CEO of probably Denmark's first AI startup back in 2006 to 2011. I was there. It was a good case, so that was very good. But I learned that in Europe, we are really lagging behind the Americans and the Chinese. Oh, it was very, very obvious back then. So I think it's very important that we in Europe start to build sovereign, independent solutions. We need to build a strong software industry in Europe. And in 2013, I wrote a memo about that, that we are squeezed between the Americans there and Chinese, that we need to do something. And the message was very, very simple back then, that we need to regain our digital autonomy. Nobody talked about that back then. Now it's called sovereignty. Everybody talks about it today. But back then, it was not much of a topic. But that was the reason why, huh? And the first steps, if you want to regain sovereignty, is to start to control your critical infrastructure, start to control your communication. So that was the reason why. That's why Medio was born. At first, it was a proprietary solution. I know that's a swearing word here, but they will cut it out in post production. Don't worry. So why go to Matrix, huh? And why go open source? And the reason for going to Matrix for us was that in Europe we're not very good at building tech giants. We don't have any tech giants in Europe, so we're not very good at that. But we are good at building alliances and cooperating, working together. And I think that's where Matrix comes in, because Matrix is Matrix favors cooperation and not competition. I think that's a very, very important part of Matrix. So with Matrix, we have a secure, decentralized, federated, and interoperable foundation, those things that Jan said in the beginning. But it's a fundament that we can build upon, huh? And then each of us can come with our different things and work together. Robert was here talking about the whiteboards before. If somebody comes to us and say, we would like to have a whiteboard, can you develop one? We'll say, no, we're never going to do that. But then, well, they could use theirs, and we could build it into the solution. Then they have an interoperable whiteboard. So using Matrix gives us some opportunities that we normally don't have. So we can all bring vital pieces to the table using it. And for us, for Medio, it was a perfect fit, because I think that if we want to have a sovereign Europe, I think Matrix is the right, for me at least, the right way to go. And it's also open source, so that's a very good thing. And going open source is a whole topic for us, because we have investors, and we had investors before we went open source. So that was a challenge in itself to suggest to them, oh well, now let's open source our solution. So when you're coming from a proprietary, that was a word again, sorry, a proprietary closed source solution, could probably imagine all the difficulties we had to convince our investors that we should go open source. They thought we had lost it totally. And first we spent a lot of money on building a proprietary solution. Then we spent even more money on migrating towards Matrix. And then we said, now let's give some of the IP away for free. So that was not the most easy board meeting ever. I assure you that. But we learned, and maybe somebody can use it, we learned that if we take very, very small baby steps, that's a way to do it. We released a small version of our product, and then we showed our investors that the world still stands, and then you can take the next small step. So for us, it was baby steps, step by step by step by step, and then we can go to more and more things. And then you have to have clear plan from how you're going to earn money right from the beginning. That's of course the trigger, isn't it? So choosing the right business model is a very difficult thing. We went through three of them. Those are probably also the three most well known. You know, your software is free, but you sell the service and support. That didn't really work for us, because we're not an organization geared to do very, good service. Of course, we can customize the product. We can help deploying, setting up things. Or now I say we, I of course mean you guys. But we can do those things. But again, as the solutions and as Matrix becomes more and more popular, everybody can do this. So that was not really something for us. The other solution, other possibility is the hosting and SaaS solution. You know, the software is free, but we host it, so you can, so we earn our money from hosting. However, when you're in the governmental sector, it doesn't work very well, because right now, at least, a lot of them want to have on-prem solutions. Huh? So we couldn't earn money there. So we went with the open core version. That's the, you know, the core product is open source, and then you can add premium features. And, you know, the critic says, that's not really open source. And those in favor say that's the best of two worlds. But for us, in our situation, also, with, you know, we have investors and all that, we have to baby steps and all that, this worked for us. So that was the way we went. I think that I did it as fast as I could. You can. Oh, there's the word again. Sorry. Please, yeah.
Okay. Okay, Arnes here. Enough those business talks.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go tech. As Runi said, from proprietary to matrix to full open source. So this is our journey. This is how it looked like. And when we started 2020, matrix was not on our roadmap at all. And like many teams, we began with Twilio, just because it worked. And then we realized that with Twilio, we cannot get we cannot go with sovereignty, we have no control and no long-term sustainability. So that's where we moved to OpenVidu, to self-hosting solution. And at that time, it looked like the best solution we could choose. And we chose between different products. So it was Currento, OpenVidu, Janus, Ant Media, Jitsi, EasyRTC, and others. And it solved the cost and control, but created the scaling headache. And then we experimented with, at 2022, we experimented with pure peer-to-peer WebRTC solution. That's where our proprietary solution scaled up. And it was elegant and lightweight, but dead after 8 participants. And even enough was 4. We wanted a way for at least 8 at that time for our use case. So October 2022, this is where basically it was our turning point. We integrated Matrix since we started aiming for Gematik requirements for the TI messenger. And since then, we started playing with that a lot. By 2023 November, we added the LiveKit as our SFU backend, and we managed to scale our group calls to more than 8 participants, and we had no longer any issues with like 4 participants. And in December 2023, Matrix RTC gave us the foundation for large end-to-end encryption calls inside Matrix rooms without sharing the encryption key via URL parameters. This was the turning point when it was pretty difficult, as Runi said, that he tried to convince investors to go full open source. This is when I started convincing Medio that, yeah, we spent a lot of time and money building the proprietary backend, but trust me, we have to choose Matrix. Matrix will work. And yeah, this is where we definitely agree that, okay, let's now build a product with the same features that we have, but Matrix as a backend. And in August 2024, we launched Medio EU, which was called Medio Connect back then. And this is a version built entirely on open source components, and each migration taught us something about the ownership and resilience. So now we will jump to the technical integration journey, how it looked like, and basically this is what we have now. We have 2 different products. It's the same product, but two different media solutions, and one of them is production software as a service and enterprise deployment. So both of them has the same idea of using LiveKit and widgets, but the difference is that the production software as a service solution uses Synapse Pro, and enterprise deployment uses, well, it's a mistake, it's not EES Pro, but ESS Pro. So, yeah, basically at the core we run Synapse, either vanilla in our production or Elements Enterprise Server Pro. And on top of that, we are connecting LiveKit SFU as our media layer. So this is the infrastructure of our components that we are using. And it's made, like, the whole media product is made out of LiveKit SFU, widget API that I'm going to speak a bit more later, then Matrix RTC, Matrix Authentication Service, Synapse Pro, Token Broker, and Scheduling Service. And the Scheduling Service is the only component from here that we had to jump out of Matrix a bit, even though we used the identity service described in Matrix documentation system, but still it was not enough for us for a meeting schedule. So on top of that, we made an MVP and we added some features to handle the meet scheduling. And now we are just testing it to see how it works. And the aim is to feed it back. So it's like, because we are using many different MECs, I will talk about that soon, but the thing is that these extensions that we are using, those aren't forks, and those all MECs, they are aligned, these are like aligned capabilities we intend to feed back into the spec as they mature. And Meteor, based on many different MSCs, but those are the main ones. And so we use the 2762 for widget capabilities, which allows other clients to integrate Meteor into their clients. Then we use 19660 for OpenID Connect, so also which is required for widget communication to ensure that, yeah, this is the same user who are trying to act on the host client, and also for the GVT token broker. Then we use the 4140 for delayed events. Even it was experimental, we decided to go with that because we thought that the issue that we can see is not on the SDK side or client side, it's rather on the Synapse side, and it can be fixed. So we use that for our breakout rooms and room to handle room alignments, assignments. And then we used 1772 for Matrix spaces, and therefore we managed to build the breakout rooms, workspaces, chats, and rooms management with that. Well, workspaces is still in progress, but it's there. Then we used 4143 and 41595 Matrix RTC for real-time signaling and voice and video inside Matrix rooms. Then 2403 for waiting rooms and scheduled rooms. And 4246 for two device messages. We used that for private direct messages while in the meeting and encryption key exchange. Yeah. So now, what happens when you mix some experimental features, experimental MSCs, and basically we get some bugs and we have no idea where they are, and it takes some time to do that, to find them and to fix them. And Johannes will talk about that later, how we dealt with the delayed events issues. But now let's jump into the KBV certified consultations. This is something we are really proud about. So basically, this is our roadmap, how this is at the timeline, how it went. So at 2021, we started with Signal for our custom peer-to-peer solution, and it was based on AES-CBC. But like at that time, we thought, okay, this is enough. 2YT also said this is enough, so we just went with that. And Even CBC isn't it ideal for the high throughput real-time video. There was no built-in integrity check, and it doesn't meet the military-grade standards required under 2IT and KBV certification. And to meet those standards, we implemented a new encryption layer this year using ASGCM 256 bits and encryption layer. And GCM adds authenticated encryption, giving us both confidentiality and integrity in a single pass. It's faster, it's safer against padding attacks, and fully aligned with, this is a keyword, NIST SP830D recommendations. You can find those in shared 280 documents. This design provided deterministic performance for our live media and passed our certification audits thanks to its verifiable cryptographic primitives and reproducible key handling. And now we are preparing for something bigger. We are introducing Matrix native end-to-end encryption protocol into our consultations, and by adapting MAGOM through the modern WOSMAC Rust implementation, we will be able to run large-scale and fully federated and highly secure consultations inside Matrix rooms. And it's a challenging path, especially on the Synapse side, because the right, but basically it's a right one, because real compliance isn't about starting stacking the encryption layers. It's about the documentation and reproducibility and providing every step on the system trust chain. And we went through that with our auditors. And as we like to say, auditors cannot be cracked. They have to be educated layer by layer. So that's what we hope to do with Matrix. So yeah, this is our certificates that we have more now, and of course we need more. Like, we are looking for more because the industry needs more. So now I will give the stage for Johannes for scaling and federation and predictability topic.
Yeah, hello, I'm Johannes, and we can't really talk about commercialization without delving into scaling. So we had a use case where we had to serve a client of around 30,000 users in a very short amount of time. So we had to rush to make sure that our product was capable of handling that. We created Lotest that we're focused on simulating users that we don't actually have in the office, like real workaholics that do constant meetings 24 hours a day. And so these were concurrent users so that we could be absolutely sure that we could provide for the amount of users that the client would specify for. So we ran these load tests, and we saw this really scary red line that basically indicated that we couldn't support more than 600 users, and the main worker was overloaded. So in true DevOps fashion, we said, kill it, let's start over, let's break everything, let's try something different, this is awful. And we went into a desperation phase where we looked at other home servers. What can we do? We looked at these options, and the issue was that they weren't supporting all of the Matrix features that we needed and that our client was already based on, and the support was also not there for some of these home servers. So we tucked our tail in between the legs and got back to Synapse and tried again, and we basically followed this timeline. So with the vanilla solution, we were stuck at the 600 user amount, but then we reconfigured some things. We added different workers. We tried to offload to workers, and then we got to 1.2k users, and then we started chasing some red herrings. We tried to enable highly available data sources. We optimized the workers even more. with some custom things with HAProxy to try and load balance it even better. And then we only got to 1.2K users. And at this point, we were desperate. We were in a lot of threads. Maybe some of you guys saw those messages, trying to figure out what was the issue. And it ended up being delayed events. So as the users scaled and the more people were in the meetings, a delayed event every 2 seconds meant that there was a massive exponential load increase as we had more users. So our temporary solution, just to see if that was really the problem, was to increase our delayed event interval from 2 to 50 seconds. And then we reached our final hard cap of 2,000 users. And the main reason for this, if we think about the previous graph, is that delayed events is still experimental, so we can't offload it to other workers. So everything is stuck on the main worker. And since Vanilla is Python-based, we can only spread it across one core, meaning that that delayed event was a ticking time bomb. And that's where we reached our hard cap. So since we had the ticking clock, we decided to try out ESS Pro. And using only one main worker, we could only already scale to 1.1K users. And then we obviously optimized and played around with it a little bit and reached 2.4. And with some other adjustments in our cloud infrastructure unrelated to Synapse, we're pretty confident that this can scale to any amount of users. So yeah, the thing we basically learned from this whole load testing experience is just the differences between Vanilla and ESS Pro and the limitations you have to have. Have to consider when you base your whole solution in Vanilla. So we found that ESS Pro was a winner in all of these categories mentioned, mostly for the DevOps happiness. It did all of the automatic HA proxy configuration, automatic vertical and horizontal scaling that Vanilla doesn't have. And then, obviously the most important part is that it's the multi-threaded, so that main worker can scale vertically. And we also found it's way more efficient. At 2,000 users, Vanilla Synapse was having 1,200 hertz of events, while at the same load, Pro was only having 300 hertz of events. And we also saw a huge stability increase. And now this is our go-to backend for any enterprise client. And then I'll give it back to Arnas to show a little demo of the application. Thank you.
Okay, so now the demo part, the most funny one. Maybe it can be funny because I'm gonna steal an excuse from Zuckerberg. We have a slow internet here, so anything can happen, but LiveKit handles everything. So let's go. So this is the Medio EU, our solution. As I said before, we have different features here. So I will start with the latest ones, which is the calendar synchronization. What started as the aim for standalone solution, where we want people to use Medio and ditch the Outlook or like any other like Microsoft 365 suite component and just start using Medio instead. We understood that everything must be there, like all the features they have there must be inside Medio. So we started with small features and then we jumped into the big ones like calendar synchronization, where you are able to synchronize your calendars. Now we released yesterday only the Google Calendar, but it's in our staging environment we have the Outlook as well. So basically you just go for the synchronization and all of your calendars, that's not even calendars, but not only calendars, but also the events that's inside your Google Calendar will be available on Medio as well. And it's not only that, it's also the all the Medio events created on Medio will be replicated to your calendars also. And you can choose which calendars you want to synchronize with, because of course the privacy reasons. So you can just like uncheck the ones that you don't want to share. And then Outlook works also the same. We have those all features like week view, day view, month view, and so on, so on. So this is the calendar synchronization feature. Of course, it's based on refresh tokens, so the sessions won't get expired early. And then we have the next feature, which is the scheduling. By the way, Medio, we are also building, it's not released yet into the production, but we are building the desktop app just like Element did with Electron. We are struggling now looking for a ways for a screen share. Somebody asked about that, so we are looking into that now. Once it's done, it will be released. But this is the web application view with the rooms in your list. And you can schedule the room there. You can either schedule. By the way, you don't need to authenticate yourself. It's completely free to start using that based on two different home servers, guests and our main home server with Matrix Authentication Service. So when scheduling the room, you can just do the... we have a waiting list also. You just choose the date. Let's say today at, I don't know, I'll be there 8 o'clock. You just do this and let me invite my my demo user to show you how it works. And basically this is where our scheduling service comes in. As I said, it's also the identity service, but we built a system to send emails for the invitation, and also it will be sent to host as well. So as host, I cannot show you now. There are too many personal details, but basically as host, you will get invited. Also, it will be added to your calendar. And as an invitee, you will receive an email just like that with the template saying the details, and the Google will handle the rest, like are you going to join it or not. And how it looks now from the both perspectives. So as a host, I have one scheduled early. So our teammates from Lithuania already waiting to join this so we can go into there. So as a host, I can join anytime there. It's scheduled like 12 minutes from now, but let's say I want to join it now. And also as a host, I can start this meeting earlier, so nobody has to wait. And as an invitee, this is the guest user that's been invited. It never authenticated on Medio or any other Matrix client. It can also join do the early join. And once the host starts the meeting, there is a ping of 10 seconds for long polling, but basically the invitees will be added into the meeting. Yeah, so say hi to our team there in Lithuania. That's a small team, but it's enough. And while in the meetings, which is scheduled now, and it's of course end-to-end encrypted, we have different features now. So I won't go through all of those features right now, but one of the best I like, the one I like the most is the direct messaging. So if I go to say hello to everybody, but then I want to gossip a little bit with, let's say, Ignis, I can just say, what did you hear? And this is completely based on two-device messaging, so it will be sent to Ignis, but no one else. And there we have another feature, which is also built on Matrix. I went through that earlier. It's a breakout rooms. This is also a feature we released like a month ago. It has the several functionalities, but we won't go through all of them. But when you are creating the breakout rooms, it just works as the any other client. We went through the UI experiments. We always wanted to be it UI first, then Matrix first, and then like everything first. So let's just do the one-click solution. Like people won't need training to use the Medio. So don't need training to use the Medio. So I'll just create three rooms. I will set a limit of 10 minutes, and I'll allow participants to get back into the main room whenever they want. So I'll then I can rename the rooms once they are created for the users. Let's see what they have to say. Something about the presentation. Okay. So rooms are created. Nobody assigned yet because I chose to manually do that. So I'll just do it like sales, then marketing, and let's say Matrix. Why not? And I will assign the people to different rooms. And this is my guest user. Matrix and yeah, Matrix. And once the breakout room started, everybody will be redirected automatically with the ability to go back. And me as a host, hi Dumanas, this is a picture in picture with the most loved one. And as a host, I can join any breakout room. We have more features coming on that one, like streaming into the breakout rooms, or video screen sharing, and so on, so on. So I can also move people across different breakout rooms, which I am just going to do now. I'll just move myself to the marketing, I guess. I was in sales, so bye, Dumanas. So here I am with other guys. Hi, guys. And also, as I said, anybody can leave the breakout room and get back to the main room. But also, as a host, I can like add more people or close the rooms and just meet everybody there early. We don't need to wait until the breakout rooms are finished. So yeah, this is the breakout rooms. It was a scheduling. We had the calendar synchronization. We had... Okay, so thank you guys. I'm going also now. So I will just go to the main room. We have the feedback form. This is the also open source. One of our friends, Ovidius, kudos to him, made the feedback API that, and we are consuming all the feedbacks. We're just removing all the metadata and depersonalizing it, and then using Grafana to review it. But basically, we have the filtering, and of course, we have the we are using Matrix authentication service with single sign-on options to authenticate. And just like any other Matrix-based client, we allow users to use their own home servers or different home servers instead of Medio. And also, this is highly compatible with other clients. We tested that with Element Web and Element Call. I really think it will be compliant if tested with any other like Fluffy Chat or Cine or anything else. So yeah, this is all about the demo. And thank you. That's it. We are ready for questions.
Does anyone ask questions? Let me look online if there is any question.
Okay. Yes.
Wait. Where? Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
Are you running SFU or TUN server for the real-time communication right now?
Yes. So for our consultation solutions, we cannot use SFU server yet. That's where we are going with Matrix. But so we are using self-managed, self-deployed TURN and STUN servers with the signaling server with a signaling service for connection, and for the large media EU calls, we are using LiveKit SFU backend.
So you're using LiveKit for okay.
Yeah.
And when you sign on using your Matrix handle, can you also specify your own TUN and STUN server stuff?
Excuse me, can you repeat the last?
So you talk about when you can sign in using your own Matrix handle on your own servers and et cetera. But for real-time communication, can you also specify the TUN, your own TUN and STUN servers and stuff?
No, Florian talked about that earlier. we thought about that a lot. It's not there yet. And me personally, myself, I am not experienced enough to develop such things yet. But we are waiting for multi-SFU solution where we could just, every participant choose their own servers instead of relaying on the ones we are providing. So I just hope it will be there soon.
Okay. Another question?
Thanks for the good presentation. On the list of servers you presented, I missed Tuvonel. Why? Was it too early? Or the new Rust-based server, which is pretty stable and pretty good? Tuvonel or Tavonel? I'm not sure about the name. Tavonel?
During our investigation, our main thing was what it supported. So we might have overlooked if it supported the late events in this case. I don't know if you have that information.
It's left over from Conduit and from Conduit, but it is split off. And it's in my impression, I think it's quite stable right now and getting more stable to have big support.
Yeah, so our main issue was feature parity, since the client we built already used a lot of the experimental features from Matrix and was deeply embedded in using Synapse, that switch would have caused a lot of refactoring. And given the timeline, we couldn't afford that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Hello, guys. Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. You say like you had you started with three main offerings, which was like support and then SaaS, and then you stay with the core, right?
Open core.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, maybe the challenges that you're having. How do you sort the challenges of defining that core product and the enterprise product, and how are you doing? You know, like.
Thank you for the question. From our side, it was a trial and error, huh? So we had to put out something which would not overwhelm our board and our investors. So we came up with a core product which had the main features, and then we thought these features we could probably upsell to these features, but we are still evaluating that. So the plan is, as time goes, more and more things will be part of the core product as we get more and more features that we can have upsell. But it's really, really difficult to find balance. It's really difficult. It's very difficult to go backwards. So I think you have to take small steps forward, and then you find this is the right point. But I think you'll never find the right thing, huh? But I think that for our sake, at least, it takes small steps. Step by step, and then you find a good balance, and if you overstep, then you will have issues, right? So it's always a balance. There's no answer for that from our side, but we try to find a balance, and then we will probably open source more features as time goes.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Does anyone? Any more question? Well, thanks, really nice talker. Anas, Johannes, and Rumi, thank you very much.
Yeah,
it was a really interesting talk.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you for coming. And